Support for WYPR comes from University of Maryland Medical System, committed to advancing the health of Maryland through academic medicine. With locations across the state, care is delivered close to home. Learn more at ummms.org.
Welcome back to Midday. I'm Matt Bush, the news director for WYPR, sitting in for Tom Hall. Coming up on Monday, Mayor Brandon Scott says the city of Baltimore's anti-violence plan was behind the dramatic drop in violent crime since the end of the pandemic. Now the city is drafting a plan for the next 5 years of anti-violence efforts. We'll hear about that and what community organizers say is needed. That's on Monday. Today on Midday, we're hopping on the campaign trail in Maryland and rounding up the county executive races in the Baltimore suburbs. In Howard County, incumbent Calvin Ball reached his term limit, and residents will pick a new executive in November. The Baltimore Banner's Howard County reporter Lillian Reed has been covering the emerging race, and she joins us now in studio. Welcome to the show, Lillian.
Thank you for having me.
You can join us, too. What would you like to see from your next county executive, and what issues do you care about in your local area? Give us a call at 410-662-8780. That's 410-662-8780, or you can send us an email at midday@wypr.org. Lillian, tell us about the incumbent in Howard County. Calvin Ball hit his term limit this year. He's finishing his second term, 8 years in office. Was he popular among residents? What sorts of things defined his time?
He was elected in 2018, so he's been with the county leading it through a lot of big moments, including, of course, the pandemic in 2020. Calvin Ball has also been working pretty hard on the Ellicott City flood mitigation project. That's been a big one for his administration. He's also seen the county through a few tough budget cycles that have had to grapple with some funding shortages when it comes to education. And then, of course, at the beginning of 2025, we saw a lot of job cuts for federal workers. And Howard County is home to an estimated 50,000 federal workers and their families. So they were hit pretty hard by that whole development, and he's been doing a lot of work through the last year to stand up supports for the community members.
Unfinished business that's going to be left to his successor. Obviously, those job cuts are going to be a big part. Are there other things in addition to that?
We have a funding cycle coming up with the school system. That's been something that I think is very top of mind for the candidates who are looking to replace him. They've all mentioned education as a really big deal in Howard County, especially because of these funding limitations. And it comes at a tricky time, right, where there have been cuts at the federal level, cuts at the state level. So it's really left the jurisdictions like Howard to figure out how to move forward and either make strategic cuts or find creative ways to support their constituents.
And the Ellicott City flood mitigation plan, just real quickly, where are we on that? Obviously, that's been a huge thing in the past 8 years, particularly as bigger storms, thanks to climate change, have passed through and done a lot of damage there.
Right. So the flood mitigation plan in Ellicott City is like a five-phased project. It's been in the works for a number of years now. And the biggest part of the project is to dig this mile-long tunnel that would basically redirect floodwaters away from Main Street. And the digging on that tunnel is somewhat underway right now. They've been bulldozing and getting ready to bring in the giant mechanism that will help bore a hole through about a mile of granite that will hopefully keep downtown safe.
So like Baltimore County, Howard County leans Democratic, though it's had a Republican executive in the last decade. That's who Calvin Ball defeated, Alan Kittleman. So the winner of the Democratic primary is going to be a heavy favorite in November. So right now, four Democrats have announced they're running. There is still some time for others to join the race. But let's talk about the four who are in the race right now. Who are they?
Yes. So we have two county councilwomen who have entered the race. One is Deb Young, who represents downtown Columbia and the district that surrounds it. The other is Liz Walsh, who is based in Ellicott City and Elk Ridge. And the third candidate is Delegate Vanessa Atterbury. And the fourth is a Baltimore restaurateur who lives also in Howard County, Bob Cockey. So the slate is four individuals. We did have a fifth candidate as well, Delegate Jessica Feldmark. She had been an early announcer to join the race. She had been running since summer, and then around December, she did decide to drop out of the race after a cancer diagnosis. She said she's still going to seek re-election for her seat in the House of Delegates, but she anticipated that the treatment would be a little bit too much for her to manage with a campaign for county executive.
Okay, so far, who's gained the most endorsements? Who's raising the most money? Who's, in a way, if we can say, who might be rising to the top, at least of the four right now?
You know, it's a little tricky to speculate at this point. We're still early on.
It's tough on the local level, too, to do this. This isn't like the national level where we have maybe a better idea of these sorts of things at the local level. It's far more difficult to do this.
Right, right. But I can say there's actually going to be an event with all four candidates on Saturday, and that's going to be at the Elk Ridge Library at 3 p.m. My understanding from organizers is that they're planning to record that session. So it will be the first time that we hear from a lot of these candidates directly all together in the same place on what their platforms are all about and what they represent. I've spoken with all of these candidates as well. Each of them is feeling fairly confident in their chances. So it's really going to be up to the voters on what they see as the main issues that are driving this election cycle. And a little too soon to say.
So tell us about each of these candidates. What sorts of things are they really talking about? What sorts of things, I guess, are there specific issues that each candidate says, this is one I'm really championing, or one I really want to work on, or one I really want to focus on and want voters to know about as they run their campaigns?
Mm-hmm. I would say for the candidates Walsh, Young, and Atterbury, I heard a very strong comment from all of them about funding for schools. So just to put this in a little context, Howard County for the past few years has had some struggles figuring out how to fill some funding gaps between what the county can afford to give to schools and what the schools are saying that they need. So last year, we had this really tricky cycle where the county did put forward more dollars by pulling it out of reserves. And that's sort of a one-time fix. It doesn't really address this discrepancy. And it still wasn't enough to prevent the school system from needing to make staffing cuts. They cut, I think it was nearly 130 positions. So that's very top of mind for those candidates. They've talked about sending more funding to schools so that this sort of thing doesn't continue year over year. Bob Cocke, I spoke with him. He said he's very driven by urgings from small businesses. That was something that he really was thinking about strongly with Howard County. There's certainly an emphasis on wanting to create jobs, especially for federal workers who maybe are out of work or looking for alternative forms of employment now. So that's kind of the race that we're in. And I think we'll hear more in the coming months just to see, as the budget cycle begins for Calvin Ball's final year in office, the conversations are, I think, going to be pretty telling for what we can expect for the coming year.
And just to go through briefly why schools funding is so important, not just in this race, but kind of all of them. It's the way Maryland funds schools and how counties have to spend their money on them, but it's also with the blueprint that exists now too. So take us through those kind of pressures and why school funding would be such an important thing in a place like Howard County.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing in Howard County, and this is true for many Maryland school districts, they have a big backlog of deferred maintenance. So this is the care and upkeep of a lot of the buildings, the school buildings themselves. In Howard County, the backlog is $194 million, so it's pretty substantial. And that's above and beyond the daily, you know, day-to-day operations that we would think of, the teachers who are staffing these buildings as well. So the funding gap is significant. And it's not unique to Howard County. It's true for a lot of school systems across the state, but it's something that the state is going to have to grapple with.
What impact does the county executive have, I guess, necessarily, or can the county executive have on this issue? And then how can they differentiate these four candidates of what they will do on this particular problem?
So the way the budget works in Howard County and other jurisdictions is the county executive comes up with the budget proposal and then delivers it to the county council for consideration. And they sort of have this period of negotiation where they go back and forth with the numbers. But the agenda is really set by the county executive's office. They have the most influence over which dollars are going toward the school system. And the school system, the school board in particular, can ask for what they say they need, but it's really up to the administration, the county administration, to figure out how to make those numbers work. So Calvin Ball will likely have some sort of presentation this spring to say what his plan is. Usually that happens around April. We may hear a little bit before then, but I'm going to be keeping an eye out around that time.
There are no Republicans running, which is interesting. Again, last decade, there was a Republican county executive in Howard County. None running right now, anyway, for their party's nomination. What can you say about that?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any Republican who has stepped forward and joined the race. The deadline is February 24th, so there's still plenty of time to do so. I will note that Bob Kaki has previously switched parties. He was a registered Republican who ran for the state Senate seat against Clarence Lamb in 2022. He has since changed parties. He said this was largely because of the Trump administration that he felt compelled to do so. So he doesn't maybe fit neatly into those boxes that we think of for either party. He's a little bit more politically fluid, but he's the only one that would have that history on the ballot. Everyone else is sort of a longtime Democrat who's well established within Howard County politics.
I'm Matt Bush, the news director for WIPR. I'm filling in for Tom Hall here on Midday. I'm speaking with Lillian Reed, the Howard County reporter for our news partners, the Baltimore Banner. We're talking about the county executive race that's coming up in Howard County this year. The job cuts we saw this week, the reports came out, Maryland decimated with federal job cuts. Howard County, as you were saying earlier, that's a big employer within Howard County. How's that going to play into not just the election, but whomever wins and becomes the next county executive, what their agenda and what they're going to be able to do in office?
Yeah, I think it's a really big issue because it affects, of course, the finances of the county itself. Something that happened last year that was sort of notable is the county took a really active role in standing up supports for a lot of these federal workers. It was very time intensive and involved a lot of reaching into the network of the county itself to bring together potential employers who would want to hire these federal workers. So the county executive's office put together multiple job fairs that were not just popular with Howard County residents, but also federal workers. They were coming from places like Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County, even Montgomery County, just to attend this. So you can get a sense of how eager the appetite was from workers to have these sorts of resources. And I think if the job cuts continue, there's a chance that we'll be talking about this again with regards to the race, with what can the county do to step in further and additionally support them.
In these races, particularly at the local level, we've seen in the last decade, there were Democratic primaries in Baltimore and Montgomery counties that were decided by less than 100 votes. So sometimes it may not be these larger issues like schools or job cuts or things like that that can really end up being the deciding factors when margins can be so thin at the local level. So what are some of the lower issues that maybe there are certain communities that are really driven, will be really driven to the polls to vote for a certain candidate? That may end up giving them that very slight edge that they end up winning on. What are some of the lower level, what we might consider lower level issues, but maybe less talked about issues, might be a better term, that could drive voters in Howard County?
Land use comes to mind immediately. This is a really important issue with Howard County in particular because land there is very valuable and, of course, limited. It's valuable because it's in that sort of sweet spot halfway point between Baltimore, the port of Baltimore in particular, mm-hmm. and Washington, D.C. It's close to I-95. It's close to BWI Airport. So it's strategically a really well-situated county, and that makes land very coveted. So something that I think a lot of residents have looked at before and will maybe look at these candidates now is about how they think of growth in the county. What does growth look like? Some folks have said that, Howard County should be welcoming in new businesses, encouraging development, redevelopment of popular sites that are well situated. There's another school of thought in Howard County that growth should be in pace with the size of infrastructure. So, of course, can the infrastructure support, many new people moving, working in Howard County, driving on the roads? That's something that I think is a lower issue that still has a lot of significance to Howard County voters.
Are there particular areas of the county where this might be a bigger issue than others, like the areas maybe that are adjacent to I-95 or the areas that would be near BWI? Are there any particular areas where there may be voters maybe very highly motivated on land use or something else to vote in June?
Yeah, I think anywhere where density could be a concern, population density, that's been a struggle. And that looks kind of different in different areas, right? So population density in Elkridge could mean, talking about the fact that Elkridge doesn't have its own high school, but maybe it has quite a few students who should, would be better served by a high school in that area. In Columbia, for example, Columbia is a very well-planned community that doesn't have a lot of spare space. So there's concerns about commercial operations coming in and encroaching on residential areas. In places closer down toward Savage, for example, we're thinking about, you know, the highways and traffic with the big trucks coming through. So it's a little bit different for every corner of Howard County, but I would say that that's something that you can kind of see. It's the undercurrent of land use throughout the county.
Lillian Reed is a reporter, covers Howard County for our news partners, the Baltimore Banner. Lillian, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, we take a turn towards the Chesapeake Bay and the race for county executive in Anne Arundel County. I'm Matt Bush, the news director for WIPR, filling in for Tom Holt on Midday Today. Stay with us.
You're tuned to 88.1 WIPR, member-supported local radio.